Good morning, everyone. I'm going to scroll through here and see your living rooms and your bright and shining faces this morning. And Kevin's here with me, and Annika is just off screen here, off camera, but she's joined us as well. And so they're seeing what it looks like from this end. So we're going to just take a moment here and scroll through, as I'm sure you guys do when you first get on and see your friends. Feel free to wave to people. It's good to be together, and this is one way that we can do that. So I am going to, as you can see here on my screen share, I'm going to start with the announcements. We're, as Kevin is going to be sharing at the end, and so we are going to leave this slightly more open-ended. So I'm going to start with the announcements, and then we're going to move into our worship. We're going to worship through readings, responsive readings. We're going to worship through song, and then we're going to worship through prayer, and then more song we're going to worship through, and then we are going to worship by sitting under the scriptures and listening for the Spirit and asking God to be at work. And all of this is an act of worship, and we're going to do that together this morning. So let me give you a couple of announcements. I believe Marco is going to put this up on the screen if you are in the waiting room before you joined the call. But Marco asked me to emphasize this week that if you are experiencing sound issues, meaning that you don't find that you can hear me or Kevin as much as you would like, from what we can tell, it looks like the sound quality has gone up since we moved into this location from my office. So if you are finding that not to be the case for you, we would encourage you to reach out to Marco. Just use the chat feature at the bottom of your screen and send Marco a private message. Marco will get the message if you send it to the admin. So Unity admin, and if you send him a message, he said he would be happy to troubleshoot with you so that you get the best possible experience. Secondly, we do put this in the email every week, but I do want to emphasize it as well that you are more than welcome to invite your friends to this. This is not a closed group. We would love to see new faces here. And if you have someone on your heart that you think would really benefit from this worship service during this time in their lives, please feel free to invite them. If you do, maybe just give us a little bit of a heads up so that we know who it is as they log in. Let me know, let Marco know. He's the one that admits people. We do want to be a welcoming people together and those who have a heart for those who aren't currently part of us, but it would just be helpful to get that heads up as well. But please invite your friends. And lastly, you're going to see this coming weekly in the email. We are starting evenings call, and we're calling them Inquiring of the Lord. And we are going to get together over Zoom on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. And we're doing this in order to seek God. As I shared this past week, my dad has cancer, and many of you know that. Some of you pray for him. I thank you for that. But that is not the type of thing that we are doing to get together. We're not getting together to pray for one another's health and so on, or the people who are on our hearts. We're actually getting together on these Thursday nights to seek God together. We feel like this is a time in our church's life where more than ever before, we need to seek God together, to ask him what he wants from us, to ask him to make us the type of people that he can work with during this time and to lead us forward. And so we are framing these evenings around various scriptures, and we're praying through them, and we are inviting God to come and change us into whatever it is that he wants us to be. And we want to meet him in new ways. So please come, please inquire of the Lord with us. And we will hopefully see you there on Thursday night. With that, let's move into our worship service. Let's begin by worshiping with our responsive readings. Let's start with God's greeting. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, now I am sending you." After this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that is for us this morning as well. Let's join in our call to worship together. Kevin, do you want to read the all portions?
Sure.
And I'll read the leader portions. You guys can join in with Kevin from your homes, and let's worship together. Our God is not far from us.
In him we live and move and have our being.
The Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on him in truth.
He hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord watches over all who love him.
He greets us with peace and pours out his Spirit.
We will worship our ever-present God. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship our ever-present God together with singing this morning.
Choose to
We're now going to worship God through prayer. And what I would invite you to do is, if you would like to dig out your cell phones and send me a text message, you are welcome to text me your prayer requests. I will pause a number of times during the prayer and say, "Lord, in your mercy," and you can respond and join in these prayers together with me and say, "Hear our prayers," from your end. So we are all praying together when we do this. Just before I go to prayer, I do want to let you know about a particular family, the Stibas. We have been praying for a while. Eugene has had throat cancer for the last couple of years and been wrestling with that. And this past week, Eugene was diagnosed with brain cancer as well. And this is not cancer that has metastasized from his throat to his brain. This is an entirely separate cancer. And his team in Calgary is now looking after him. We can be praying for Eugene's health and then for his wife, Eileen, during this time as well. So feel free to text me your prayer requests. And let's go together. Let's worship God in prayer. Lord, we come to you in prayer and worship you because you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of our singing, yes, but you are worthy of us offering our entire lives to you. Because you are God, the only God. There is no one else beside you. No one else who deserves our praise. And so we offer to you our very lives. You are worthy of our obedience. You are worthy of our trust. You are worthy of our loyalty. And so, Lord, I pray that you would make us people who worship you with everything we have. Not only our voices, but our actions and the way we use our time, our attitudes, the disciplines and structures and routines that we have in our lives. I pray that all of these would be submitted to you in worship. that as Paul says, we would offer our bodies, our entire being as a living sacrifice, living, go on living, worshiping you with everything that we have. I pray that that's what you would make us, Lord. We need to be people who give you praise with everything we have, every conscious moment. Make us people who reflect you well. Make us people who join the praises of creation going on constantly. Make us people who join the angels who praise you constantly. Because you are worthy of nothing less. And this is what we were made for. So Lord, help us to live into that creation calling. To be people whose living worships you. Lord, we offer you our thanks, our gratitude for your ongoing, steadfast loyalty to us. Lord, you have been good when we have not been. You have been patient with us when we did not deserve it. You have been gracious to us and shown us your favor and your kindness. Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you for the very breath that you have poured into us. We don't get the next one without you. So we say thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the green grass these days. Thank you. Thank you for this brief summer that we get to enjoy here in Red Deer. Lord, thank you for additional time with family. Thank you for the way that you have provided for us when the whole world seems like it's going crazy. You're still God. And you are still here. And you are still inviting us to meet you. So we say thank you for that as well. All of this is possible because of Jesus, because of what he has done for us on the cross. That we couldn't come to you on our own. We couldn't make ourselves right with you by ourselves. We needed him to do that for us. So Lord, we thank you for the cross. It should have been ours. And you reconciled us to you. Lord, help us to live and be people of reconciliation. Not just people who reconcile with you, but because of that, go and reconcile with others. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we have been asleep. Forgive us for the ways that we have been callous. Forgive us for the ways that we have held on to unforgiveness and bitterness. Forgive us for the ways that we have told ourselves that we are okay, like the church in Revelation 3. Lord, I pray that we would accept your diagnosis and ask for your treatment. So Lord, when you tell us we're wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and then you counsel us to come buy from you gold refined in the fire, to come find your treasure that does not compare to the ones we have been seeking after, when you counsel us to come to you for white robes because we couldn't make ourselves right on our own and we need righteousness to come from you. We've been playing whack-a-mole with little sins, but you need to exterminate. Lord, make us right with you. Lord, you tell us to come that we've been blind. And so we're asking you for the sight that you would give us, to see ourselves for who we are and to see you for who you are. Lord, we need your eyes. So Lord, guide us through this time as we enter into confession and repentance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we pray for the people you love, Astybus. I pray that you would touch and heal Eugene's body. I pray that you would bless that whole team that is looking after him, and that you would guide him to health and wholeness. I pray for Eileen and ask that you would provide her with the comforter. You said, Jesus said he was going to send the comforter. the Spirit. And Lord, I pray you send your very self to her these days, and that she would lean on you for all of the comfort and encouragement that she needs, and that you would provide for her and for their family. I think of Kelsey. I pray that you would guide this application process as she works to get her green card, to get back to the place that she believes you are calling her to. And Lord, as you call, we are trusting that you will provide the way. So Lord, make this a smooth process and get her to the spot where you want to use her to bless others. Lord, I pray for Susanna's friends right now who are going through difficult times, wrestling with depression, wondering where the finances are going to come from, dealing with health. Lord, you see it. You are a God of compassion. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Provide for their needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we pray for a cousin in PEI who's been hospitalized. We pray for healing, and that she would soon be reunited with the family she can't see because of quarantine. We pray for friends, the family of a friend killed in a car accident, and another asking for prayer for health. Lord, you know these situations, so quickly described in a text message. But Lord, there are lives contained in this little text message. So Lord, meet them. Lord, someone is asking for prayer to continue on, although they are tired. Lord, I pray for perseverance. And Lord, I pray for new life, life that is renewed in you. Breathe on us, God. Lord, another friend is asking for prayer for the family of someone who has died. Lord, it's like the world falls apart when you lose someone. Lord, I pray that you would be their rock and their stability and their comfort. And Lord, I pray that you would make these friends asking for prayer for their friends, make them your light. Make them your peace. Make them your comfort and your agents, your good ambassadors, your representatives. Empower them. Lord, someone's asking for prayer for the leaders of the Hutterite communities as they go through the COVID-19 maze. Yes, Lord. We are all asking for prayer for wisdom as we navigate COVID-19. And I pray that for these communities, I ask that you would give them wisdom beyond information. Give them spiritual insight and guide them as they navigate. Someone's asking for prayer for two friends who need Jesus. Oh Lord, answer that prayer. Lord, as we've just said, you want to make us ambassadors to these people. And so, Lord, I pray that we would represent the good country of the heavenly kingdom that's coming to earth. Lord, make us your representatives. Make us your reflections. Make us good image bearers of Jesus Christ, and empower us by his Spirit, by your Spirit. And may these friends come to know Jesus. May they see Jesus in their friend. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we trust that you are at work You're at work in our church. You're at work in our neighborhoods. You're at work in Red Deer. So Lord, make us people that you equip to be a part of it, not because we're looking for things to do, but because we are looking to offer you our worship and offer you our service and obedience. Like, make us obedient servants who work and serve and pray to put a smile on the face of the Master. In your name, amen. We're going to worship with one more song and then go to our scriptures.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
right. As I said, we are now going to worship by listening to Scripture and by asking God to speak to us through His Word and through His servant. So this morning, Kevin and I were planning on having more of a discussion around Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. But as the week progressed, it seemed like God was speaking to Kevin and moving in sort of a different direction. And so rather than having a conversation, I'm going to turn it over to Kevin because I think that God has something important to say to us. And Kevin's been listening attentively, and so we are going to now ask God to make us attentive listeners to Him. So let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kevin. Lord, we've just been singing about how we are inviting Your Spirit to be present. And Lord, one of the things that we always ask for, whether we say it or not, is we're asking that Your Spirit would illumine our minds, open up our minds so that we understand Your Scriptures, open up our hearts so that we respond to Your Scriptures, and we pray just as we sang that Your Spirit would be present with us and would guide us in whatever way You are taking us. So Lord, have Your way. Bless Kevin as he speaks. Use him and give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Your name, amen.
And thanks, Ben. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be starting in Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at Acts 1 a little bit too, and as well the end of Luke 24. And if we have time, we might even look a little bit at Isaiah. I got to apologize, Ben, for not kind of going the direction that I think we'd both thought of Psalm 32 and 51, but it just didn't happen. And I really trust that the Spirit's going to be leading in us this morning. The past few weeks, we've heard how the Holy Spirit has been moving in Red Deer, in Unity Baptist Church. Joel Cad, you shared 2 or 3 weeks ago about the way the Holy Spirit's been working in his life and showing him things that are going to be happening in Red Deer. And it's just been exciting. Part of the theme that he shared too is through brokenness before God and humbling ourselves before God. So to start out with, I just want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. There might be someone that watching here today that maybe don't fully understand what we're talking about when we mention the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to assume that everybody's on the same page because I know that we're not. We're all at different stages in our walk with God. The Holy Spirit is God. God is three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sang earlier about the Trinity. That's the Godhead, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three parts of God in perfect unity, perfect harmony, perfect love. They've always been and they always will be. God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to dwell on earth here among us for a little while. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to certain people in the Old Testament. And as we've read in the past, and we're going to read again here this morning, in the New Testament, He poured out His Spirit on all people. So let's go ahead and read Acts chapter 2 right now, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it then, or how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or languages." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who hears on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here it's made clear again, as we've heard in the past weeks, the same passage out of Joel that Luke is quoting here in the book of Acts, that God's going to pour out his spirit on all people. If you want to keep your thumb in this section, we're going to come back there, but just flip over to Luke chapter 24, right at the end of the book. We're going to look at starting at verse 25. It says, then he opened, Jesus is present with his disciples after his ascension, or after his resurrection, just prior to his ascension. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Ben mentioned earlier in his prayer about the promise of the Holy Spirit. God promised that to come. It's recorded here again in Luke, where it says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Again, the Holy Spirit, referring back to the promise that he'd made to us in the Old Testament. So we've talked about being filled with the Spirit, being moved by the Spirit, hearing from the Spirit, speaking to us. So how does that all happen? How does that all work? A little bit later, I'm going to share some stories about how, just experiences that I've had and the way the Holy Spirit has impacted me, spoken to me, taught me things. You might find some of them kind of touching. They might grip your heart. Some might be a little humorous, some convicting, some shocking, and some maybe even disappointing. And I'm fine with all of that. So to start out with, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? There's a couple things I want to point out. If you still have your finger in Luke, we're going to keep reading there at verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This happened prior to what we read in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. In order for the Holy Spirit to have come, these are the things that they were doing. They were meeting together. They stayed continually at the temple praising God. One of the key things that we need to do if we want to be attentive to and receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to flip back now to Acts chapter 1, we're going to read starting at verse 12, where the disciples are choosing a replacement for Judas Iscariot. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. This is the verse I want you to pay close attention to. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This, again, is recorded just before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So the actions of the disciples at that time were continually meeting at the temple and praising God and remaining constantly in prayer. Ben mentioned earlier our prayer meeting Thursday night. I would encourage all of you, as many as possible. I know lives are busy and things come and go, but try to make every effort to join. The more that we pray, the more we're inviting the Spirit to come, the more he's going to come and move among us. Several years ago, I had prayed and asked that God would fill me with his Holy Spirit. And I, just to be clear, I have never heard God's voice audibly, the way that you're hearing my voice right now. Others have claimed that he has spoken to them that way, and I don't doubt that. I fully believe that, but he's just never spoken to me that way, or if he has, I haven't been listening or I didn't hear it. So that maybe that'll happen someday, but just to this point, it hasn't. So my experiences have been in a few ways when I've had the Holy Spirit impact me. Conviction is one of them. Sometimes it's a feeling of guilt, but not worldly guilt, which wants us to feel shame and disgrace and worthlessness and failure. But what I like to say is godly guilt, which is an overwhelming motivation or an urge to take action or correct a shortcoming or a sin in our lives. Sometimes it's been in the form of rebuke. Sometimes it's one of those joy-filled experiences where you feel goosebumps or the hair stands up on the back of your neck or one of those things that's just inexplainable. Doesn't happen by coincidence, but just where you might say this is a miracle, where things just happen out of the ordinary. So I want to start, just share a couple of stories on that light. The first one was, say it began about 2.5 years ago. We were in California as our family. We went to, Saddleback Church. And so the worship team sang a song there that I had heard maybe a couple of times before, but really came alive to me that Sunday. We're just really focused on worshiping our Lord and Savior. And so fast forward 7 months to Westerner days, we went, same thing. The worship team there led the same song. And I don't do music well. Like I don't sing well. I took piano lessons. So I have a little bit of knowledge, but I love music. It's a way that I can really praise and worship God and the way he speaks to me. So anyway, this Sunday at the Westerner, it was in a key that I felt like I could hit pitch on a few of the notes and really sing, but I just really was in an attitude of worship through that song. And then the rest of that week, that song just stayed in my head. Like it was just there all the time. Not that I couldn't get it out. I didn't want to. I just wanted it there and kept going over and over it in my head. That same week, we had our triennial conference in Edmonton. That's the North American Baptist Conference, which Unity Baptist is a part of. Every 3 years, they hold meetings in some city in North America. And it used to be designed to do the business of the conference, but they've kind of gotten, they still do that, but they've made the focus more on discipleship and worship and teaching. And it's just really a wonderful time. And so I was wanting to get up there for that, but it happened to be the same week that we were moving from town out to the farm. We had a family reunion that Sarah was organizing and hosting people at our house and just a lot of stuff going on. But I managed to get up the first night. It just worked out. So I took Sophia with me. And it was just one of those things where you have a taste of something that is so good, you want more of it. And it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it back, but I really wanted to go back. And it turned out I was able to get back Saturday night. Jeremy Putz is a good friend of ours. He was leading worship. He's a pastor of Central Baptist in Edmonton and had a great worship team. And the music was just wonderful. I'm just taking it in. And so I can remember sitting there. I was all by myself. Nobody had come up with me, but there was no one beside me or behind me. And I just, the song that I had heard at Westerner Days again was going on in my head. And I just thought, it'd be great if they would sing that here. But it just kind of the flow of songs, I just didn't sense that. But I kind of prayed and I said, God, if Jeremy would lead us in that song today, I will praise you like I never have in my life before. And sure enough, at the end of the service, the first few notes, he started playing it just like, that feeling comes over you where, you know, hair stands up on the back of your neck or you just like, oh, it's really happening. Like he heard me. And then the thoughts came back. It's like, God, I made a deal with you. It's like, I said, I'd praise you like I never have before. And just for context, I want to tell you, I grew up in Carbon Baptist Church, about an hour and a half south of here. And German Baptist, very conservative, very traditional, where hymns were always sang just about exclusively. And so I grew up learning and knowing all kinds of hymns. I enjoyed them and probably do more so today than I ever have. But Carbon Baptist, there was no hand raising in church. There was rarely ever clapping unless we had a charismatic guest speaker or something that encouraged it. But that didn't happen. Dancing, that was of the devil, of course. That would never happen. If somebody said amen, you'd see heads turn around and, oh, we must have a visitor here this morning. Just that's the environment that I grew up in. And
amen.
That's how I was molded. So for me, you know, I just would not raise my hands to sing and worship my Lord. But this particular night in Edmonton at the Triennial Conference, I made a deal with God, said, I'm going to praise you like I never have. And so I did. I stood there with my arms in the air, tears running down my face. And I just worshiped God like I never had in my life publicly. And a testament of how the Spirit moves. Like, I had no idea what Jeremy was going to play that night. And God heard my heart, and he changed my heart. The second one, similar experience, just a week ago, we had a number of families out to our place for camp weekend. We've gotten to know them at family camp at Caroline over the years, and that's not happening this year. So we said, well, let's have everyone to our place. So Friday night, we had a family come down from Edmonton, good friends of ours, the Dennises. And John and I were sitting around the campfire, and he grew up in a similar background to me, Rabbit Hill Baptist Church, very, you know, conservative, grew up with hymns. And he said, the church they go to now, they rarely do hymns. And he said, I just miss them. He said, there's something about hymns that are just so powerful, and the words are just so full. And we just talked about that and some of the hymns we did or that were meaningful to us. You know, I'll hail the power of Jesus' name. And can it be, come thou fount of every blessing. Holy, 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 we sang this morning. I don't know why you chose that, Ben, but I'll talk about that a little bit here shortly. But all these songs that just were so meaningful to us. And anyway, the next night we had planned to do a worship service on Saturday. And so Sarah led singing and we sang a bunch of songs. Sunday morning I got up and I'd like to watch the Village Church Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock from Dallas, Texas, it comes on. And so they usually have a couple songs at the beginning, usually fairly contemporary, some I haven't even heard before. Well, last Sunday morning they started out and they did Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I just sat there and I thought, God, you're so good. Like, you knew this song that was in my head and just how that just elicits praise from me for you. So I sat there at the computer and just took it all in. And I was by myself. A lot of people weren't up. And then by the time the service was over, people were kind of coming and going and moving. So I went to the office, my office for our church service at 10 o'clock and watched that. And then headed back over to where brunch was. Everybody was pretty well done. But then I see Sarah has the keyboard up and said, oh, are we doing worship again? Oh, yeah, everybody wanted to sing again. I was like, oh, great. And I sat down at the back of the room. And so she starts leading and singing. And then John, this friend of ours, got up and he started playing guitar with her. And so she did a few songs and then she starts playing Holy, Holy, Holy again. We hadn't talked about this. She wasn't watching the Village Church with me, but the fact that she, again, was playing this song that just was on my heart that morning, just, again, was the moving of the Holy Spirit amongst us, the synchronization of these things. And so we went on through that and then did a few camp songs. And as we're sitting there singing and worshiping and thinking, like a really good fitting to wrapping this all up with, like just a song that's so focused on who God is and worshiping him and praising him, was Agnus Dei. And that's the one that starts out, Alleluia, and for the Lord God Almighty reigns. So that's the hell of a song. I just think that would be such a fitting way to end. And again, Sarah and I hadn't talked about this at all. And then the last song she did, she starts playing that song. And I just got teary-eyed and I was kind of embarrassed to be sitting there. And so I got up, I walked to the back, and as she started playing the chorus, like where it's holy, you are holy, I just stood with my hands raised in the air looking outside. This is amongst my peers, my family. I said, God, I'm going to praise you like I'm not used to praising you. So again, just the way God moved amongst his people, and this is the Holy Spirit leading. So I'm going to move on. Not all things are these really moving, heart-wrenching stories that are making us feel good. So I'm going to share a few that aren't quite as fun to talk about. The first one was just a couple of weeks ago, and this came out of our Monday morning men's prayer group. actually, it was 3 weeks ago from tomorrow. So Kent Lindsay was sharing something, and then he said a couple words. He said something about his art teacher. And from that point on, Kent, if you're listening, I can't see you up there, but if you're on, I never heard anything you said after that, so I apologize, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and I was listening to him, so I think you'll understand. But and he took me back 35 years ago. I'm 49 years old, but he took me back to my grade 9 school, junior high in Three Hills. I was going to Prairie Bible Institute, and we had an options class where we had to choose. We had three choices, and we had to rank them. There was shop, home ec, and art. And so, of course, shop is my number one choice. Everybody, all the guys wanted shop. And then home ec, a lot of the girls wanted to sign up for that, which I don't even know what is. I'm assuming, well, they learned cooking and sewing. I don't know what other kind of stuff. And then art was the third one. So shop was number one, and I picked home ec as number two. I would rather be doing all of this homemaking stuff rather than be an art. I had such a hatred for art at that point in my life. Elementary school, I had done a lot. I colored some pictures or actually did some decent drawings, but somehow in that about 5 years, I kind of lost my affection for art and creativity, or at least that form of creativity, and detested it. And so I got stuck in art class. It was my third choice, but that's where I got ended up. And some of my classmates were in there also against their will. And so we were kind of accomplices in destruction, I would say. And we had things, and just give you a few examples, like when we were doing water painting, we had our jar of, you know, where we wash our brush off and it would be full of all this yucky, icky colored water. And we were on the third floor of the high school. We had to walk over there from the junior high. And so we would open the window up and pour this water out the window. And sometimes if one of the classrooms below us had their window open, we'd try and hit that window so the water would splash off it, just doing just childish things. And then we'd watch and they'd close it because it made a bunch of noise. Or if there was snow on the ground, it would get all colored and there'd be a new snowfall. It would go pour some more water out. And then right beside the sink, there was on the floor, it was an old building, the old high school there. There was a pipe going down through into the floor and then a hole around the pipe. It's like, well, what's that hole for? But to pour water down from our paintbrushes. Again, just stupid things that we did. So we poured in, and then I remember after class, we'd go downstairs to see where it came. And it'd be running down the chalkboard in the classroom below us. And we'd kind of giggle thinking this was funny. We would fly paper airplanes out the window when the teacher wasn't looking. See, you could get them the furthest. Or, oh, look, I got all the way to Mr. Honecker's garden. Or just all these things. And then spring would come and there'd be all this soggy paper litter all over the ground. But probably the worst thing that I remember doing, there's probably a ton of them, but we were doing calligraphy for part of the class. And that's just like really fancy writing if you don't know what calligraphy is. And so our teacher asked us to pick a Bible verse to write out in calligraphy on this kind of a more expensive or fancier, nicer paper. And then she would blacken the edges with a candle so it would look really, I guess, looks older, ancient or something. So my first thoughts were, what is the shortest verse that I can pick to write out in calligraphy so I don't have to labor through this? And so John 11:35, Jesus wept. That's the verse I'm doing. And she said, that was not the intent she was getting at. And she caught on right away. She said, pick a verse that has some meaning to you. And then she put a limit. It's got to be a minimum of 10 words long. So I probably spent more time looking for a verse that was exactly 10 words long, so I didn't have to write anymore, than it would have actually taken me to write out the verse. And then on top of that, I picked a verse that out of context was kind of meaningless. Like I don't want to call anything in the Word of God meaningless, but it was one of those verses that by itself doesn't really carry much. And so, in fact, it may have been something like one of the genealogies, like an Eber begat Rueg or whatever. Just, it was 10 words long and it was just out of defiance in my heart. And so I wrote this out and I handed it to her and she kind of looked at it, and I could tell she was annoyed or disappointed. She says, I don't know if I'm even going to burn the edges of that one. And I didn't care. I was like, oh, whatever. And out of her graciousness, she did anyway. This verse, she went and did it. And handed it back to me. So that's a lot of rambling, but I just wanted to give you a context about what this was. So Kent Lindsay mentions his art teacher. The Holy Spirit takes me back to my art class that I didn't want to be in. And just the way that I was disruptive and disrespectful. And so as Kent is speaking, I'm doing a web search here on my computer, seeing if I can find my teacher, Anne Enns, because I want to make this right with her. And sure enough, it was either the first or second link that came up on my web search, Prairie Christian Academy, Anne Enns. Then there's a click on it, and there's another link, send Anne a message. Well, I guess there's no excuse here. So as soon as our prayer meeting was over, I went, and this is what I typed out. Anne, in case you don't remember me, you taught me art in grade 9, 35 years ago. This morning I was in a prayer meeting with Kent Lindsay, who she would have probably known from Prairie, and he mentioned an art teacher he had. Through that, the Holy Spirit prompted me to think back to my art class with you. I did not enjoy art and did not want to be in that class and behaved accordingly. I want to apologize to you for my bad attitude and actions as a result. I'm sorry for being disrespectful and making the class less enjoyable than it otherwise should have been. As it turned out, I still have very little artistic talent, but I have children that do. And I have an appreciation for it now that didn't exist before. Please say hello to James for me, who is her husband, who also taught me in school. Just over an hour later, I got this response back. Hello, Kevin. Thank you for your very kind message. I do remember your name, even though I can't quite picture you at the moment. Believe me, I do not remember your bad behavior, possibly because there were others in the class who felt as you did, ! But thank you for your apology. It is greatly appreciated. When I look back on those early years of teaching, I know now I could have done things so much better. But as in so many cases, it just takes time to learn. And then she says a little bit more, and there's blessings to you and your family. I'm delighted to know you have artistic children. I hope they have good teachers to bring out their best. Done. Gone. It wasn't that hard. It was simple and prompted from, again, just came out of nowhere. Kent had no idea that this was going to be, that's what his sharing was going to bring out in our prayer meeting. The second one, again, this relates to our Monday morning men's prayer meeting. I shared this many years ago here when I was, I think maybe the last time I preached here at Unity. But it involved, there was a man coming to our men's prayer group that I think they were attending our church for a little while, but had an estranged relationship with his daughter. Or to the point where she was not even living in the same house with them. And over the course of a number of weeks, I don't know that I had ever met her, but I knew him. And my thoughts were like, I can see why she maybe isn't living with him. I don't know if I would, if just knowing who you are. I prayed for this man. I prayed for his daughter for reconciliation. Well, one morning I was sitting at home prior to coming into church that Monday morning. And it was probably between 5 and 5:30. I would get up and read my Bible and pray. And so I started praying for this guy and just asking that God would change his heart so that he would be open to making things right with his daughter. I gathered that he thought she was the problem and I thought he was the problem. Anyway, as I'm praying for him, the Holy Spirit came to me and just said, Kevin, I want you to be a little bit softer with your kids, a little more gentle with your kids. And I kind of sat back a little bit, and he took me back to a time where Annika's sitting right here. This is going to be about her, so I don't mean to embarrass her, but she was probably 2 or 3 or 4 years old, and we had put her to bed, and Sarah and I were sitting on the couch. And some time had gone by, and then Annika came out of her room, and it's like she hadn't been asleep. And so I sort of got after her a little bit. I said, Annika, you need to be asleep. Why are you out? And you're going to get sick if you don't get enough sleep. Like just sort of imploring that the need for her to not be there and to be in bed. So she went back, and then Sarah went and tucked her in again and came back, and she said, Annika's crying. I said, what? Well, why? She said, because you hurt her feelings. I was like, oh. So I went in and I made things right with her. And God just brought that memory back to me. And it wasn't necessarily anything that you would look at and say, oh, that was wrong or that was bad. But from the time Annika was born, she was always very sensitive. Her eyes were sensitive to light.
When we pull the cover off her car seat, she would squint even though her eyes were closed. None of our other kids did that. So we bought her these little sunglasses. Sarah's dad, some of you may know him, can be very loud sometimes. So he would clear his throat and that would startle Annika and she'd start crying. Just a very sensitive person. That went right to her heart. Even today, she has a very, I'm going to brag on her a little bit. She's got a very compassionate heart, caring and thoughtful. And in fact, you can, I don't know if you can see this here. Last night, she made a card for Loreen McFarland that we're going to drop off at her. Just this thinking of you. So she wrote this card out that we're going to drop off after church today. Just, and she wrote it from the benders, even though it was her that did it. So anyway, just, I'm getting off track here a little bit, but I was praying very specifically for this guy that God would change his heart, and the Holy Spirit came and changed mine. In any case, I came to prayer meeting that morning, and this guy probably hadn't had any communication with his daughter in a long time, perhaps months. Get here that morning, he pulls out a piece of paper, opens it up, and he goes, "This is a letter my daughter sent me this week." It's like the Holy Spirit was saying, "I heard your prayer. I heard you praying for him, and I answered it. But I also needed you to hear from me. I needed you to hear what I wanted you to hear." The last one I'm going to share, I realize we're out of time. It's 11 o'clock, but I want to share at least one more thing here. But if you need to go, I understand that. Please feel free. We're going to have a discussion afterwards that I'd invite anyone to stay. But this involves, again, somebody here in our church, that's a current member. I texted him this week. That was Dwight Steen. I said, "Dwight, do you mind if I share this story from before?" And he says, "Absolutely." He said, "Go ahead, say anything you want, good or bad." And so I've known Dwight for probably 30 years or 30-ish years. I attended here prior to Sarah and I being married and knew the Steen family. But over time, I started to develop a bit of a negative attitude towards Dwight. And it was nothing that he had ever said or done to me or anything that I had ever witnessed him saying or doing. It was based on a piece of hearsay or gossip, I would call it, which is one of the reasons why gossip is so vile and harmful and destructive. But it became a judgmental attitude in my heart. And I would see him Sunday mornings, we'd shake hands. "Oh, hey, Dwight, how are you doing? Good, good." We'd, you know, share pleasantries. And that was about it. Never got into any conversations. I didn't show any ill will towards him. But I had this in my heart. And when I prayed and asked God years ago to fill me with his Spirit and to show me what I needed to do in my life, this was one of the things. I don't know a lot of details about kind of what transpired, but what was clear to me, we had a prayer meeting one night here at the church where there were different booths set up kind of around the sanctuary here and even out in the foyer and maybe, I don't even know where else. I can't remember, but I remember going to a booth at the back, kind of where the bulletin board is now, for whatever it was that we were praying for at that particular booth. And then there was another one up here to my right against the wall. And I remember getting down, I don't know if I was kneeling or sitting or whatever, but I kind of looked over and I could see Dwight to my right on the other side. And it was this overwhelming presence that just, it's like, "Kevin, you can't leave the church here until you make things right." And it was nothing harsh or heavy-handed, but it was just something that you can't walk away from. I couldn't say no to. And so the whole night, I don't know if I really thought about anything that I was praying about at any of the booths, but said, "Okay, I can't leave here until I've made things right." So the end of the night came and I was kind of watching and make sure Dwight wasn't leaving. And then I kind of caught up to him and I said, "Hey, Dwight, have you got a few minutes to chat?" And, "Oh yeah, sure." And so we went downstairs to the basement. There was nobody there. And I just confessed my sin to him. I said, "Dwight, for the past little while, I've had a judgmental spirit, judgmental attitude in my heart towards you. And I just want to apologize and say that I'm sorry." And he said, "Yeah, I kind of sensed there was something there." And anyway, we cried, we hugged each other. And it was like this wall that I had erected, that I had put up between him and I, disintegrated, fell apart. Like it's no longer there, gone. And it just took that initiative to me. And so often pride gets in the way of us doing what's right. We don't want to seem like we're weak, or we don't want to seem, oh no, that's shameful, and for people to think less of us than we do. Another thought, I hadn't put this in my notes, but something else that just came to me, again, this is more almost rebuke or conviction, about a month and a half ago. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a farmer. And so I was delivering some of my grain to a company where I'd sold it to. And so the way it works, I pull in with my truck, they weigh the truck, I empty the grain out, and then they weigh it again to find out how much grain that I had on, and then I get paid accordingly. So I pulled in and they had weighed the truck, we emptied it out, and then it was an outdoor scale. And so I was standing there, and there's a like kind of this big framework around the scale. And I'm kind of leaning on one of the beams there as I'm standing there waiting for them to weigh it. And then the thought came to me that, wait, this beam isn't part of the scale. So as I'm leaning on it, I'm actually taking weight off of myself that would make the truck seem lighter so that it would show that I actually delivered more grain, which I hadn't. It was, and just for perspective, and I'm just telling you this so you understand how insignificant that little amount of weight was that I was contributing. The value of the grain that I unloaded was approximately $15,000. The difference that me leaning on that beam would have made was less than $10. So as I'm leaning there, I'm thinking, oh, I'm doing this. I can actually make a little bit more money doing this. And in that instant, the Holy Spirit said, are you going to sell out your integrity for $10? And I just immediately stepped back and I said, no, there's no way in the world I can't do this. But again, the Holy Spirit's rebuke of me, again, I just hadn't considered it, just was leaning there. I thought, oh, hey, I could make a little bit more money doing this. And just, again, another way the Holy Spirit speaks. So we're out of time. I just want to close a little bit, or we may read a little bit from Isaiah, but I just want to say, I'm not telling any of you this to solicit any type of sympathy or favor or anything like that. I just felt compelled to share some of these stories with you in the hope and prayer that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind something that you need to take care of in your life. I just talked about sins of commission that I've, just a few of them. I mean, if I could go on, we'd be here until next Sunday if I just kept on going, but we don't have that luxury. So there are sins of omission. There are things that we know we should have done and didn't do. Maybe there's something like that in your life. There's the whole other side of this. Ben mentioned earlier about forgiveness or unforgiveness, bitterness. Maybe somebody has sinned against us. Somebody has said something that hurt us deeply. Maybe somebody did something to us nobody else knows about, but we've struggled to forgive. We know we need to forgive them, and I understand how hard that can be. But I would encourage any of you, if you know that there's something in your heart that you need to make right and you're just having trouble doing it, pray about it. Confide in somebody you trust. If it's a really sensitive issue, if you're a woman, find another woman that you know that you trust, that you can confide in and share with her and ask her to pray for you. If you're a guy, ask another man, ask another guy to say, hey, I'm really wrestling and struggling with this sin in my life, this person that hurt me that I know I need to forgive them. I just can't do it. I'm struggling. Share that. We so much want to uphold you in prayer. Talk to Ben, talk to me, talk to Joel Kadju. There's a number of us that would love nothing more than to be able to pray with you and just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. One other thing I want to mention too is I don't want anyone to be fearful of hearing from the Holy Spirit that it's going to be harsh or critical or we're going to get beaten down through this. I don't know that I have ever encountered a time where the Holy Spirit has spoken to me in a way that was heavy-handed. I mean, it has been affirmative, it has been assertive, but never was it ever harsh or where like I'm cringing in fear. God always came across so gently, but it was so real and just like, no, this is clear. I know what I have to do. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. What we were hoping to get to in Psalm 52 and or 32 and 51. Again, this is David repenting of his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. God used Nathan the prophet to confront him, tells him a story about this family with the young lamb, and this man comes and takes their lamb, this rich man, and David flips out, oh, where's that man? Bring him here so we can, he needs to be put to death. And Nathan goes, you're the man, you're the guy. And it's got an exclamation point. Sometimes God might have to come across that way, depending on our person. He knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. Just trust him. He's not gonna shame us. The devil wants us to feel shame. God wants us to feel fullness and renewal and forgiveness. And he wants us to extend compassion and forgiveness to others. So I realize we're a quarter after 11 here. We're late. I want to read something this morning. As I was reading my Bible, I try to read through the Bible each year. And so this morning I'm going through Isaiah. Hadn't put this in my notes or anything. It was just something I read this morning. But Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. A reminder again of how sin separates us from God. If we want to be full of the Holy Spirit, we want him to move among us, we need to, as Hebrews 12 tells us, throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us. I'll remind you again from Acts 1:14 and Luke 24, 52, or 53. Praise God continually. Constantly meet in prayer. Another reminder, if you're able to, join us Thursday nights for prayer. Pray together in your homes, in groups, on your own with God. Just really seek the Lord and let's see what he's going to do. Sorry, Ben, I'm going to share one more thing again that I had here. I shared it with you earlier today, but
you don't have to apologize. I'm enjoying this, man.
Yeah. I want to be respectful of people's time, but maybe this will speak to somebody. A few years ago, Sam and I were in Charlotte, North Carolina. We went to the Billy Graham Library Museum. I've always been a big fan of Billy Graham. His messages were so simple yet so profound, and I could listen to his preaching over and over again. Such a humble man and so used by God. There was a quote that was put up in there. I'll just back up a little bit. At the start, we went through the tour of this library or museum, just kind of showing his life and chronicling it. Right at the beginning, his son Franklin Graham is up on a screen giving a video presentation. And one of the things he said is, he says, I want to be abundantly clear, this museum, this library, is not about my father. This is about God and the work that God has accomplished through my father. So this is what Billy Graham had said, this quote, I'm going to read it. The secret is not me. So many people think that somehow I carry a revival around in a suitcase and they just announce me and something happens, but that's not true. This is the work of God, and the Bible warns that God will not share his glory with another. All the publicity that we receive sometimes frightens me because I feel that therein lies a great danger. If God should take his hand off me, I would have no more spiritual power. The whole secret of the success of our meetings is spiritual. It's God answering prayer. I cannot take credit for any of it. When the Holy Spirit starts to move amongst us, when things happen, the temptation is for us to want to get some of that glory or some of that credit. This past week, as I was going through Isaiah, twice I read in, I think it was 42 and 48, where it says, God will not share his glory with another. The glory is all his, 100%. None of this is us. We are vessels by which he is going to glorify his name. And so I want that to be a reminder. When we see him moving, be mindful that this is all about him and nothing about us. So I'm going to close our time in prayer. There are probably a number of other things I wanted to share, but that'll be for another time. So again, just pray, praise, worship God, and ask him what he wants you to do. What things do you need to address in your life? And ask somebody to help you if you need that. Let's pray. Do you want me to close in prayer? Let's close in prayer, and then I guess we'll go to our group discussions or what afterwards. Father God, thank you for your word. We love your word. We love hearing from you, and the way that you speak to us, the way you've spoken to me over the years, and the way you'll continue to. Lord, I thank you for conviction. I thank you for your rebukes that bring us back on the track towards you. Lord, we love you. We worship you. And it's our desire to see your name lifted high in Red Deer. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, move amongst us. Come and change lives. We pray for those who haven't met you yet. We pray for the lost, for those souls who are yet to come to you. Lord, I love what's happening here with the Dream Center, the hope that's coming through that, and the lives that we changed. Hope Mission, that we're excited about the progress coming there. Lord, we see you moving in ways that are just exciting and just bring a joy to us. Lord, we're excited to see what's going to happen. Guide and lead us. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that you've spoken to through words that have come out of my mouth, words that Ben has said through one of the songs this morning, whatever it's been, if it's something as simple as somebody sharing about an art teacher that they had, that the Holy Spirit brings back something to us that we need to make right with somebody. If we need to forgive a hurt or a pain that we have carried for years in our heart, give us the strength to do that. Give us the courage. Give us the humility to make things right with others. Lord, I pray for this upcoming week, for our prayer meeting Thursday night, that you would show yourself, that you would be magnified, you would be glorified through what goes on. Prepare our hearts for that, for every day this week as we meet with you, as we seek you. Thank you for this time we've had this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for being with us, everyone. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, friends.